Hi, a phone plan by Google. If a winter traveler made a phone plan, he could share all of this.
I've got an attitude of gratitude, a heart that's full and thankful to the good, the bad, happy or sad. Dear Lord, help me be grateful.
Amen. An attitude of a gratitude. So I don't know what kind of attitude y'all two have tonight, but I'm sure glad that we are here. It's Friday night, and each of you know what that means, so you can give me an amen. Make sure y'all hear this mic. Sometimes it makes me a little bit nervous if you hear me. Okay, well, at least y'all know y'all here. So I don't know what happened to the others. Kind of odd, you know. Usually Beth is always here, or she kind of comes in a little late. Fred, Toby, we're not sure about him, whether or not he's been evacuated, because I know Orthodox, there's some fires down in Australia. I've been seeing that on news, so I don't know the areas where he's at. Is he affected by it, or was he evacuated, or what? I hadn't heard nothing from him, or I hadn't seen that from him in chat. So, again, we're just going to go with it. You know, again, when two or three are gathered in his name, what does the scripture says? The Lord is with us. So how, again, can we not, you know, say God's not with us? Because God is. Basically, I talked to a lot of people, and I was talking to a couple this morning. They want to know, how do I get into the presence of the Lord? And I asked them, well, are you born again? They say, yeah. I said, well, you already are. You know, so, I mean, we're in God's presence every day, you know, but yet when we read the word and pray and, you know, and meditate on him, you know, it helps, deepens our relationship. But, you know, in order to do that, we do have to have what I call a proper attitude, you know. And one lady I was speaking to this morning, oh, she's dealing with a lot, and the problem is, you know, it's a lot of hidden issues, you know. So sometimes when I talk to people, I try to help them understand their issues and help them try to get better with the Lord. So again, we're gonna get started. I know I'm running a little late. I was kind of giving people some time to get here, but apparently not. So we're gonna go with it. So, as I just said about us being in the presence of God, well, let me start this off. How can I approach God? Now, I know some of us, we ask that question. Some of us think about it. But, you know, I do have a lot of people say, well, Jim, how do I approach God? And this question is buried deep in everyone's soul. It has to be. And you look at the Judeans asked a similar question. With what shall I come before the Lord? They wanted to know what offerings they should bring. So in answers, however, if you read Micah, which we're going to read in a little bit, he pointed basically directly at their hearts when they asked him that question. They asked him, you know, hey, what should I come before the Lord? But yet, they didn't like the response Micah gave them, because he pointed directly at their hearts. And it's kind of like the person I dealt with this morning. You know, she's asking a bunch of questions. She wanted to hear what she wanted to hear, but I had to tell her what she needed to hear. And apparently it didn't fit well at first, but she got over it, I think. That's kind of what Micah did here at this point. But also, when we read the scriptures, if you also notice, and if you read the entire chapter, in the fact, he raised a few more other questions. And basically, there were this. Did they uphold God's justice in their communities? Did they show God's mercy to the disadvantaged? Had they humbly offered their lives to the Lord? God didn't want their offerings. He didn't want it. In fact, what he wanted their lives. And God still wants hearts that love him and hands that serve in his name, even in this day and age. So if you got your Bibles, we're going to be reading from Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Micah chapter 6, 6 through 8, and starting with verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, which calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, old man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you, and we ask you first off, search our hearts and our minds. If there is anything that we have not confessed to you before we came before you this very moment, or we have not confessed throughout this day, please forgive us where we have fallen short of your precious glory. Father, I ask you to forgive me of my faults and my sins, that of things that I may have inadvertently done, or stuff that I may have allowed to come into my mind or whatever. Please forgive me. I didn't mean to, but you know what we're dealing with, and I always know that I can come to you with this, and I always know what Jesus did for me. Those sins were paid for. Thank you for your gracious love. Thank you for being with me in mind, body, spirit. I ask of you to anoint those who are here tonight. Watch over them. Put a protective hedge around them. Let them know that you are with them and you're watching over them. Those who couldn't make it here tonight for whatever reason it may be, Father, be with them and let them know, hey, it's okay that I'm with you and I will watch over you. So, Father, again, we thank you. We love you. We praise you all in the name of Jesus. And we all say, amen. Grab me a quick sip. So, as y'all heard that song a little bit earlier, I like the Gaithers. You know, it's an old group. I love a lot of their music. I mean, there's a lot of music I listen to. I just love a lot of songs relating to the Lord. But, I mean, that's a good little group to listen to. If you ever decide you want to listen to more of them, just Google the Gaithers. You know, I mean, they really got some wonderful songs. But the message tonight, my friends, is this. And the title of this message is called An Attitude Adjustment. And I think, you know, I'm honest with myself a lot of times, and my wife sometimes tells me, well, Jim, sometimes you need to check your attitude. And I kind of look at her, I say, well, I think sometimes you need to check yours also. So, but a lot of people we encounter, I think, can mainly use an attitude adjustment. I think we all can if we're honest with ourselves. And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about too many Christians today live lives of quiet desperation, always worrying and fretting. They pray, but God's peace never seems to come to their hearts. I'm not sure if you encountered people like that before, but you know, I have encountered many people like that in my last 8 years of dealing with this online Christian ministry, but also in my real life ministry, you know, I have encountered many people like this, that they're always worrying, they're always fretting, they're always in desperation. And it seems like, you know, they pray and pray, it looks like God's peace never comes to them. And in short, basically, they have such negative attitudes that they are helping no one and only hurting themselves. That's what they're doing. They're not helping themselves. They're not helping no one else. They're hurting themselves when they got a bad attitude. And that's why I say it. They need an attitude adjustment. Sometimes, as the lady told me this morning, she said, well, you know, I'm glad that you're honest with me because, again, I need someone to speak bluntly to me and kind of shake me up, to wake me up to what's going on because, again, I have spoken to many people and they kind of step the issues that I have, but they're not really being honest with me. And I said, well, again, this is not, you know, something I normally do, but I always do this. I'm straightforward. You know, Lisa, she can contest this. She's been hearing me for quite a while, you know, and a lot of other people you talk to in this chat room, they will tell you Jimbo is one who does not pull punches, and I don't. And she asked me, she said, well, you know, why is it these other ministers, you know, they soft-pedal issues? I said, well, the problem is they have no fear of God. That's the problem, folks. They have no fear of God. You know what? It took me a while to realize that, but when I started reading that passage, you know, and I read through the Bible a lot, and we all do. But, you know, every time, you know, I come across something new, then I really deep think it. But then when I really got to the passage again that time, that I'm going to have to stand before Jesus Christ, eyeball to eyeball, and I'm going to have to give an account for everything. Everything that I have done from the day I said yes to Christ. And at one particular point, that bothered me. It really did. Oh, Lord. Really? So, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I love you enough to know, hey, if I don't tell you the truth and you wound up in hell, I wonder how awful it's going to be to find out from God, Jim C., you misled that person. Look what happened. And that frightens me. So I'm not going to beat around the bush when I tell you things. And I don't beat around the bush in my sermons. I am a straightforward person just the way it is. And that's why I say, you know, when people who are called Christians are always kind of having all kind of emotional distress, well, again, you're not having the proper attitudes. So if you're coming to me looking for the answer that you want to hear, guess what? You may not hear what I'm going you may not like what you're going to hear, what I'm going to tell you. Some folks, I do, sometimes they come running to me, and I tell them what's going on. They don't like it, so they go run and find somebody else to hear the answer that they want. Well, they're not willing to have an attitude adjustment done on them. That's the problem. So, what can we do to exchange negative attitudes for positive ones? And that's what we should be focused on. How do we get rid of the negatives and focus more on the positive? Now, I'm not preaching no prosperity. I'm not preaching feel-good stuff. I never do. You never hear me about that. But I do preach on some of that because, yes, the Bible does tell us we should live an abundant life. Jesus clearly makes that very simple. He makes that very plainly. He tells us you should have an abundance of life. But that does not exclude us from troubles. We have them. We have issues. We have problems. But with the Lord, we shall be overcomers. That's what we are. We should overcome. But if we're constantly living in a negative attitude all the time and never living in a positive, folks, something is wrong. Something's wrong. You're not plugged into the right power source or something. And I always tell a lot of people that, and I'm not going to point names, but I've dealt with many people in the chat room, and I've known them for years. And they are still negative. Usually I avoid them. I don't want to be around them. I don't blame nobody else for not wanting to be around a negative person. Man, because what that does, it brings you down. It's like a cancer. It spreads. Man, I don't want to be around that. I don't need that. And sometimes, you know, when we need some emotional support or we need encouragement or whatever, we don't need to hear negativity from people. We don't. So they got to change their attitudes, and that's what we got to do. We got to exchange those negative attitudes for positive ones. And the prophet Micah himself, if you look at the scriptures, he provided three requirements in chapter 6, and actually in verse 8. He provided these three requirements as I saw this, because I'm reading through the Bible again, and I'm fixing to start this year, probably tomorrow, to read in the chronological order, because I've never done that before. But when I saw that again, I was just reading that. Some of them I didn't see that before, but here it is. The three requirements which, when acted upon, will have what I call an enormous impact on your attitude, my attitude, and everybody else's. So here in this message tonight, we're going to look at those three requirements of an attitude adjustment. The first step towards, and this is the first one, the first step towards a positive attitude is to do justly. That's right, to do justly. We must be honest with ourselves and then live honestly. We must quit making excuses and start dealing with our own hearts and minds. It's kind of like that person this morning. All I heard was an excuse. An excuse, an excuse, an excuse, an excuse. And finally, about after an hour hearing that, I had to be blunt and said, listen, 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 stop typing. I hate to say it, but all I hear is excuses. We're not dealing with the real issue. And she had to pause for a bit, and she said, you know what, you're right. I mean, I sat there in silence. I watched what she typed. Usually I like to hear audio too, but that's how, you know, I deal with people. But she didn't realize her real excuse. Her excuse was she's not right with the Lord. And this is what's going on with Micah when he was dealing with people. Say, look, you know, I'm questioning you about this, and I'm questioning you about that, and I'm questioning you about this. So again, we must do justly, and by doing so, we have to be honest with ourselves, and we got to quit making excuses, and we got to start dealing with our own hearts and our own minds. We must admit and face up to our own problems. Problems begin on the inside, folks, and the heart of every problem is the problem of the heart. Billy Graham says that a lot. If you listen to a lot of his sermons, he says the heart of every problem is the problem of the heart. And when we admit and confess what is in our hearts and minds, we will have a positive attitude. And the reason I say this, folks, look at what Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says. The answer is right there. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. I can't be no plainer than that, folks, because again, I use this scripture a lot with a lot of people. You think, therefore you are. So if you start thinking negative things, you start thinking negative attitudes, you start acting on those attitudes, then you become it. I'm going to get a little ahead of myself, but see, I also use a phrase, and Lisa, she heard this before. I always use this phrase, look, quit that stinking thinking. Just like I told someone today, hey, you jump in a mud puddle, guess what? You become muddy. If you keep thinking that all the time, guess what? You become that. So for us to have that right attitude, we must do justly. So the second step, the second point for tonight, or the third requirement Mike was pointing out, the second step towards a positive attitude is to love mercy. Is to love mercy. Now, I kind of had to step back on that one a little bit. I'm like, ooh, man, really? Man, Michael, you're kind of hitting below the belt, ain't you? I had a lot of problems with that myself, folks. I kind of still have some issues with that. But God is working on that. He's taking care of that. But in other words, we need to learn to make things right. Uh-oh. Now, Jim, you didn't go there. And sometimes when you hear a minister says that, look, what you got to do, you got to make things right. And I remember the first few times I used to hear that from pastors preaching off the pulpit while sitting out there, and I start squirming in my seat. Boy, I start doing that little squirrely little dance, you know, with my backside. I caught slide. And I kind of start looking down at the ground and like, are you kidding me? You telling me to make things right? No way, Jose. Sorry. But being blunt, that's love. That's love and mercy. And if there are problems between people, and I'm sure we all can agree with this, if there are problems between people, one person needs to take the initiative to make things right. Being merciful and forgiving if that's needed. Now, I will raise my hand up because I had a lot of problems with that. I'm not saying for you to admit it or you raise your hands up if you was in this room or whatever. I'm not asking for that. I'm just speaking on what I've been through. And sometimes we're not willing to take that first initiative to make things right. Prime example was the other day. You know, my wife was here, she'll probably laugh at it right now, but I got a little bent on something she said because I said something. Bob, but you know what? I was right. No way, I was right. Well, you go ahead and be like that. I got a little bent. She knew it. She walked off. So all right, that's fine. I'm not going to speak to her all day. That's how she going to be? Well, fine. So I went here to my room, watched a little TV, went outside, pouting around. I walked in front of her, stomping my feet, giving that little look. I bet the halftime she was just laughing in her mind. You know, yeah, look at him strutting around like he think he is something. But later on, I'm sitting here in my room where I'm standing for you now, like, okay, well, I guess, man, let me go talk to, let me go eat some crow. Crow. Yeah, baby, I shouldn't have said what I said. I shouldn't have done what I done. I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? She picks at me sometimes and kind of would probably tell me no. But she said my problem is that time I take everything too seriously. I can see her smile a little bit. She kind of looked at me. I shouldn't, but you know what? Yeah, I will. You see, folks, sometimes whether we are right or wrong, I had an old minister tell me, Jim, look, you got to learn something one day, son. Whether you're right or wrong, if there is a conflict between you and another, it doesn't matter. You be the first one to take the initiative and make it right. That's a hard lesson to learn, isn't it? It really is. And even though we cannot get along perfectly with everyone, Paul admonishes in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, he says this, and that's what I explained to the lady today. That's why I love Paul. You know, Paul, man, look, I relate to that dude. I really do. I relate to him a lot. Because Paul, man, when you read through Romans, that poor dude, he's struggling. He has a lot of issues. But I love many passages he says in Romans, especially Romans chapter 12, verse 18. And this is what he's saying. And he says this, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with other men. And you know, many times I read that and I say, oh no, Brother Paul, you didn't have to go there, my man. Come on. You could have wrote anything else, but you had to put that in there, didn't you? Didn't you? Are you kidding me, telling me it's possible, as much depends on me, to live peaceably with other men? Wow. Man, you don't know what you're asking. Folks, basically in a nutshell, when we have the right relationship with others, we will have a positive attitude. And that only comes by loving others with mercy. That's the only way. And yes, that does takes a little bit of work on all parts. So our third issue for tonight that Micah pointed out, or our third point as I call them, or third step towards a positive attitude is this. The third step towards a positive attitude is to, are you ready for this? Walk humbly with God. Ew! Come on, you just slapped me in the face on the second one. Now you're coming back with this third one talking about, I got to walk humbly before God. Ew. Unfortunately, yes. You must walk humbly with God. Sometimes that's hard, isn't it? I know it is for me sometimes to walk humbly, to swallow, eat crow, as I just said earlier. I had to humble myself and go before my wife. I'm sorry, baby. I had to humble myself to do that. Even though in my mind I knew I was right. You see, folks, we need to ask God to search our minds and our hearts. How do I know this? Well, very clear what Scripture tells us. Psalms chapter 139, verse 23 and 24 says this. Psalms 139, 23 and 24 says, and many of you probably recognize this because we all probably read it so many times. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See, if you notice, a lot of times, if you pay attention to when I pray, and folks, look, I'm not trying to brag. No, please forgive me. I'm not. But you always hear me asking God if there's anything that I may have done, or anything that may have been displeasing, or any thoughts that may have came to me. I'm doing that for a reason. I want to have true humility before approaching God in prayer. And if there is something wrong with me, that's why I ask that God, take that away from me. Search my heart. Know my heart. Try me. And to see if there is any wicked way in me. If there is, get rid of it, because I don't want it. And what I do at that particular point, and what I'm really saying to us, we are placing ourselves into what I call a submissive mode. We're submitting ourselves to Christ. And I'm getting tongue-tied. Lord, help me say it right. The submissive mind puts Christ, and you ready for this? The submissive mind puts Christ and others ahead of self. That's right. If you are truly submitting to God, you put Christ and others ahead of yourself. How do we know this? Again, as I was telling a dear lady this morning, this is why the Word of God is so important for us. It's so important for us to learn. It's so important for us to study. It's so important for us to soak it in and let it transform us and let it just show us the real truth in our lives if you're willing to have your eyes open. But the reason why I know this, because look what the Word of God says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. It's plain as day, folks. Philippians 2, 4 says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. Are you kidding me? He had to go there too? That's right, folks. The Word is telling us to look for the interests of others. See, folks, when we do not do these two things and be humbled, guess what? Resentment, thoughts of bitterness, pride, or other negative attitudes will poison the heart and the mind. And in the end, poison the whole attitude and personality of the person. If God sees wrong thoughts and bad attitudes in our hearts and our minds, He cannot give us peace and joy we seek. I'm sorry to tell you this. I'm sorry to pop your bubble, but it does not work that way, because again, if we do not get rid of that poison and change that attitude, we are not going to get the joy and peace we seek. Bottom line, it takes faith to have a submissive mind, because humility is so contrary to the spirit of the world. And yet Jesus has said it in Matthew chapter 23, verse 11. Notice what he says right there. Matthew 23:11. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. Boy, he shut them up real quick when he said that. And what I'm going to say prior to that, folks, when we have a humble, submissive minds, we will have a positive attitude. When we start to develop harmful attitudes, being worried, critical, depressed, or discouraged, folks, let me tell you something. You better stop to examine yourselves. Because if you are in that mindset, then something is really wrong. That's not who we should be. We are the living temple of the Holy God Himself. And God is not negative. God does not have a bad attitude. That's us. We must ask, do I have this attitude because I'm not being honest with myself? Do I? Could that be the problem? And I've been doing that a lot. And I've been asking God, God, do I have this issue because I got the problem with my attitude? Am I blaming others for my problems? Am I holding a grudge, refusing to forgive or even make things right? Am I being proud? Am I forgetting to think single-mindedly with Christ? Have I ceased having a submissive mind? Where along the line did I stop living for Christ? If you answered yes to many of these questions, then I would say you need to go to the Lord with a humble heart and ask for forgiveness of these attitudes and thoughts and turn them over to Him and be submissive to His leading and not yours. And the reason why I'm telling you this, folks, because if you do not do this, this will surely destroy you and cause you to have a bitter heart and some real stinking thinking in your minds. That's what it's going to do. It's going to cause you to have nothing but stinking thinking. And in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Our attitude provides an accurate litmus test for the true condition of our hearts. That's what it does. God cares first about the condition of our hearts, because when God has our hearts, He knows that we surrender to Him. He molds us and He shapes our attitudes and actions to reflect His character, not ours. Yes, we are all in a battle. It's a battle between flesh and instant gratifications or sanctification, and choosing to make choices pleasing to God and relying on Jesus for strength. That's what the battle's lying at right now. We are in a battle for instant gratifications rather than sanctification. And sometimes we have to make a hard choice in choosing what is pleasing to God and how do we rely on Jesus to get through that. And the truth is that it's good to be in a battle. Now, you might be throwing a kind of sideways look at me, huh, Jim? What do you mean? It's good to be in a battle? I thought about that when writing this. Now, I'm speaking basically on what's been happening to me. It's good to be in a battle because, folks, I found this quote on the internet. I forgot who said it, but I liked it. Because any dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a live fish to swim upstream against the pulls of the world and the flesh. In other words, it's an uphill battle, but that's a sign of a healthy spiritual life. If you're in the battle, it's an uphill battle, but it's a healthy spiritual life. You're not a dead fish floating downstream. Thank goodness for that. Christians, understand that it's our nature to have a bad attitude. Many people do. That's the sinful nature in us. We all had bad attitudes. But now we have a right attitude in Christ. We show that gratitude of that attitude. Woo! Hey, I didn't get tongue-tied on that one. How about that one? But to be honest with y'all, folks, we don't naturally sing like songbirds in the morning. A lot of times I go sit on my porch in the morning and I listen to those birds singing. Boy, they all chirping and singing those lovely songs. And man, it just seemed like you got it all together. And sometimes I want to holler, why don't y'all just shut up? Come on! You can't be that happy! I think sometimes God said, Jimmy, you just need to shut up and change your attitude, son. And listen to those birds. But step one to adjusting your attitude, my friends, is to trust in Christ. So trust in Christ. That simple. And without the Spirit of God, your heart is like mine was at one time. If you didn't have the Spirit of God, you had a heart that was made of stone. And when I first said yes to Christ, I kind of admitted to a lot of folks, you know what? I don't think I'm ever going to understand what love is. I never really knew love. But what I needed was a new heart, not of stone. But God provided me a new one that was soft in His Spirit. And that changed me. Remember this. We're all in the same battle. And yes, it's not going to be easy. But being in the battle means we're striving to live a life that is pleasing to God. But He has not left us helpless. Oh, no, He has not. We have a new heart since we're a new creation in Christ. We've been transformed. We've been made new. Old things has passed away. Behold, all things become new. We have something to help us. We have something to help our attitudes. And it's in God. And finally, someone asked me this question today. Are you content where you are now? And I said, you know, at first, I had to be honest. Again, another spiritual check, if you want to call that. No, I wasn't content for a while. I wasn't. In fact, I was getting angry, bitter, resentment, holding non-forgiveness, harboring feelings, and the list goes on. And that shouldn't have been what I was supposed to be. But lately, in the last year and a half, almost 2 years now, God's been giving me an attitude adjustment, and I needed it. And I still need it to keep me humble. But folks, contentment is like a little love. You have to choose to be contented, just as you have to choose to show love by your actions. Jesus, my friends, is the ultimate example of that. And if you know you had a bad attitude, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the root of that stinking attitude, please. I've been teaching the men lately at our church, and we've been going through a lot of things called walking with God, and it's really been posing some very personal and intimate questions to us. And I told these guys, when we start this journey, be honest with yourself. If you want to get something out of this, be honest. You don't have to discuss whatever you may be dealing with. I'm not going to push you. But if you want to get something out of this lesson, be honest in answering those questions. And to me, I had to learn. I still had a little bit that stinking thinking inside of me. It was hiding back there. I had to get that little feather dust and kind of dust that thing off a little bit. Yeah, I had to do that. And yes, whenever we are looking at ourselves to get rid of that bad thinking, oh, folks, look, it's not always easy. It's not. But I want you to know something. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it all. You are not a helpless victim. You can choose to adjust your attitude with the help of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And when you do, it all can be for the glory of God. Woo-hoo! Woo! I like that. And sometimes God is telling us to change our attitude so he can display his power in our lives. We may have exhausted all of our own ideas, but even still, trust him. Trust him. If we change our attitude, it allows Jesus to work in us and make God-sized changes. Trust God now and continue trusting him when it's hard to do so. See, folks, God works through us when we are emotionally spent. When we have tried it our own ways and failed, we are ripe for the reliance on God, which is where his power shines through. Make sure your motivation for your work is God-centered, and in doing so, he will give you the strength to do it. God promises us that following a Christian life can be challenging. That's right. He didn't say it was going to be easy peasy. I wish it was, but it's not. But the difficult times, pay close attention to this, please, if anything else. The difficult times are by his design to make us even stronger Christians and to help build our character. Think about that. So if your attitude needs to be adjusted, don't try it your way. Do it God's way. And watch what happens in your life when you do so. And remember, most of all, having the right attitude is having the right heart to display a godly attitude. Amen.